Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, travelers across the galaxy. I am Caitlin.
I am Kelsey.
This is Rebels Remembered, and this week we have finally reached the midway point of Season 3, so we're halfway through the season. It's Season 3, Episode 9, An Inside Man. This episode aired December 3rd, 2016. Synopsis reads, seeking information on a new Imperial weapon, Ezra and Kanan infiltrate the Imperial factory on Lothal, but must trust an unlikely ally to escape a lockdown. This is written by Nicole, I always mess her name up.
I say Dubbock.
Dubbock.
I could be wrong.
Nicole Dubbock, directed by Stuart Lee. It's a little trivia on this episode. Mr. Sumar nearly made an appearance in the season 2 opener where he was going to be depicted as very anti-rebel. Angered at the actions the rebels took that resulted in the death of Minister Tua and the enhanced Imperial security they provoked. So it's interesting, he could have took a different route. Which makes sense.
Yeah, I still would have, I mean, that's interesting. I still would have liked to see some of that, like, I mean, people that obviously hate the Empire, but obviously, like, are full on rebellion, kind of put the planet in lockdown because of, yeah, because I think what Kanan says in, is it season 2 or 3, where he says everything we do has an effect now because it's part of a larger picture.
Well, also, they blamed Tua's death on them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It would have been interesting to see somebody from Lothal who buying into that bilk.
Yeah.
And going to the Imperial side, but luckily for us, he did not. Yeah. Among the art in Thrawn's office is a Bartan statue, holograms of ancient Lothal glyphs, Hera's Kalikori, Kanan's old battle mask, which I'm not really sure even how he got that. I think that was just an Easter egg, honestly. Yeah. I don't think Thrawn just went to Malachor and dug that out of the rubble. I don't think so. And holographic examples of Mandalorian art from ancient crusades. Also, I don't know if you caught it, there's depictions of wolves drawings in the background.
Yes, there's that as well, which becomes important
in season 4. Stay.
Keep your eye on that wolf. It'll become important later on in the story.
Yeah. the TIE Defender design comes from the classic 1994 TIE Fighter video game, where it was depicted as the top-of-the-line Imperial fighter model.
Yeah, and I don't think it's, like, mentioned that this is the TIE Defender in this episode, but any Star Wars geek nerd that had played the 94 game, just seeing that image of the specs,
right,
they're gonna know that it's a TIE Defender, which that wasn't confirmed until maybe a later episode, but it was also confirmed in Rebels Recon of this episode.
Oh.
Where Pablo Hidalgo was specifically asked by Indy, is this the TIE Defender? He says, yes, it is the actual one from the video games.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So before we get into the episode outline, we're going to go ahead and do our episode activity first.
Yep. Just going to switch it up.
This should be fun. I think, am I the participant of this?
You are the victim in this.
Okay. So, spoiler alert for this episode. Unfortunately, our good friend Mr. Sumar bites it because Thrawn overloads the bike that the people in Lothal had tampered with. It goes to a certain
speed, about up above 190, and it just hits critical and just explodes. And so, you know, he, through Thrawn, we'll get to the plot later, has him on his bike when it explodes. Of course, no one is going to survive that. I do question on whether or not the stormtroopers survived that in the earlier chase before.
Probably not.
Because, but again, this was stationary. So
yeah. So since time is of the essence, again, once again, this episode, and we have an exploding speeder bikes. What better way than to play Perfection?
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys forgot to put my pen. If you guys remember this game, this looks totally different than I remember it when I was a kid. But if you ever play the game Perfection, you have to, like, put shapes into the holes to match that match, and you are timed. So if it reaches the timer, this thing will pop up, and it sort of makes a miniature explosion. It's not going to blow up into flames, but it does make a it can scare younger children for sure.
Yeah.
If
yeah,
you're playing this as a toddler, yeah. So what I'm going to do is I have some questions for Caitlin to answer, and I'm going to set the time limit at 50 seconds to start, but each question I'm going to lower the time by 5 seconds. And the questions do sort of, they're a mixture, I would say, get progressively harder. I will say some at the end are a little bit harder, but the time is going to be shorter.
Oh, okay.
First question. What rebel characters do not appear in this episode?
Oh my gosh. Hera? Hera? Nope. No?
There's two characters that do not appear in this episode.
Chopper.
Chopper appears.
This is really nerve-wracking. No, they don't go there.
Another one you hate. This is the person you hate in Rebels. That
oh, it's a character you don't like. AP5.
Yes, that is correct. Okay.
I don't like this.
Okay. Going to 45 seconds on this next question. What character appears but does not speak?
Appears but does not speak. Chopper.
Nope.
What
character appears but does not speak?
Well, these are hard.
It's not a main character out of the Rebels. It's in the Rebellion.
Is
in the Rebellion.
Is it Sumar's wife? Does she talk?
She
no,
does.
She does talk. Yeah.
It's in someone in Phoenix Squad. So the answer to that question was Sato.
Sato's in this?
Sato is in this, but he does not speak.
Oh, okay. Well.
All right.
I'm
going to leave the ones that you that are in there. Okay. Alone, but I'm going to take out the ones that blew up.
Okay.
Alright, next question is, this is a two-prong question. How many times at this point has Ezra dressed as a scout trooper, and what was the first time that we saw him dress as a scout trooper?
How many times has Ezra dressed as a scout trooper? Two.
Yes.
Okay.
The first time it was in what episode?
Hera's Heroes.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh.
Okay. What does one of the holographic artwork in Thrawn's room depict? This is not seen until the episode 4, season 4 episode, Kindred.
Wait, what was the question?
This artwork appears in Thrawn's office. It does not appear in the series until Kindred.
It's art?
It's art. It's a depiction of something.
Is it the wolves?
It is the wolves, yes.
I hate you.
Okay. What was the name of the last episode in which we saw Sumar?
The last episode we saw Sumar. Oh, that's easy. That's Fight or Flight.
That is correct. Okay. This is a little bit of a tricky one. What voice actor portrays both Sumar and Lieutenant Leist? Or List. I forget his name.
Lieutenant List. Who was Lieutenant List? Who was Lieutenant List? Oh my gosh. Sumar's voice sounds so... No!
I think it got all of them.
It almost did. Yeah, it did. It got all of them. I can hear Sumar in my head, but I can't figure out who that voice is.
Okay. So the answer to that question is Liam O'Brien.
Oh,
he voices
okay.
both of those characters.
Gotcha.
Seen in freeze frame, in some freeze frames of this episode, Agent Kallus becomes visibly shocked at what?
He becomes visibly shocked. Kallus does?
Yes.
Is it when the thing blows up?
No.
No?
It's, I guess I can give you a hint, it's when they're in the elevator.
He's shocked when, I have no idea. My brain. Oh, no, that don't fit. I can see the scene in my head, but I can't figure out what it is. He's shocked that...
It's Ezra and Kanan in Palace in the elevator.
Yeah, I know that.
People noticed it in freeze frames that he was very shocked at this information that he did not know.
Something about has to do with the rebels, maybe?
Has to do with Kanan.
I was about to curse. Sorry. I don't know! I really don't know.
Okay. He's visibly shocked at Kanan's blindness when he removes his helmet.
I'm going to go back and watch that.
I think
that.
That's new information for him to learn that he can no longer see.
Ooh. I didn't even notice that.
Okay. Last question. What trust password is used to identify a fulcrum?
I already know that one because I have it in my notes. By the light of the Thal's moons.
Yes. Woohoo! Woo! That didn't do too bad.
Was nerve-wracking.
Just like Sumar.
Just like Sumar. Poor Sumar. Except I'm alive!
Yeah. Alrighty, after I got to torture you for a little bit, we're gonna dig into the episode now. Just to change things up. So, this is the first time that we are back on Lothal in a while.
Yeah, it's been some time, and I was super excited, not gonna lie, that we're back on Lothal, because it feels very nostalgic, you know?
Yeah, and also, like, unfortunately, though, you get to see some of the effects of it's fully occupied now.
Yeah.
It's fully being turned into sort of this industrial place, which we dig in more into season 4.
Yeah.
But you have Kanan, Ezra, and Chopper observing Imperial headquarters. They make an exit with Ryder Azadi, who returns because he rescues them while they're doing their little... reconnaissance. It never really says why they're hanging out here.
Yeah, it doesn't really say that either. And it's interesting that they're back on the wall, too, to me.
The best part about this scene is, I'm just going to say it, is Kanan and Ezra taking down that walker with the lightsabers.
And not only that, the way that Ryder flipped the speeder on its side, kind of.
Yep.
That was really cool.
And plus, like, the lighting, like, seeing Lothal at nighttime again and makes it more mysterious and, So Ryder also has a camp now, and I think Rebels Recon had mentioned that he's actually growing some sort of small resistance to the occupation that's happening, which, when we first met Ryder, that was not his initial plan.
Yeah.
So we get to see, you know, that side of him becoming that Rebel leader, and later on, if you want to know what happens to him, you can watch Ahsoka, I guess, because Clancy Brown still plays him. So they go to this camp with Ryder, and they do meet Sumar, the farmer and family friend of the Bridgers. So Sumar has been able to infiltrate the Imperial Assembly Line, where they, spoiler alert, are building these tight defenders and other machines, like walkers, speeder bikes, and they've been sort of tampering with them from the inside, which... I think was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. And it's not just the speeder bikes we see later. It's also the walkers and big heavy hitters. I mean, that's pretty smart. But also I'm kind of skipping around here. But like, it's interesting that they employ people from Lothal to build these things. And I think Thrawn mentions, like, that was a bad call on your part because a lot of people in Lothal don't like them.
Yeah.
And that's going to show up in their work. And she was like, well, we needed resources and workers.
Yeah,
and...
price is sort of like back down to the bottom line. And that leaves, you know, holes when you're not seeing how that can be a problem. You're hiring people that don't like you, essentially.
Yeah.
And they want to see you fail. But also, I think it's interesting because... I had a point to this. I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, yeah. Someone in Rebels Recon, I believe it was Harry Grill, where he mentioned, like... When we have, I'm skipping ahead, but we have Kanan and Ezra and Sumar infiltrate one of these factories.
Yeah.
And just to get some schematics on this TIE Defender. And they mentioned that it's very similar to the dehumanization that happens in not just in war, but in factories in general.
That's true.
Everyone has a number, you have a certain role, and that's it. Like, you're not really seen as human, I guess.
I mean, my first job, I wasn't a factory line worker. I did work around factory workers in a factory. And it's very humdrum, mundane, but it's also very, you're here to do your job. I don't want to say it's very, like, you're just a number, but...
It depends on the factory.
Yeah, I think it depends, but it kind of is. Yeah. You know?
So they infiltrate the factory. They do get a tip from Fulcrum, who believes the Empire is building a new weapon, which turns out to be a TIE Finder. They get in to figure out what it is. Thrawn, ding, 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 and the creepy organ that Kevin... I don't know where that came from.
I like it because it unnerves you because you have Vader's theme and the Imperial March and mm-hmm. all that. His is so, it's different though, but it's like very class A, you know, very classy, but also terrifying at the same time.
Which is Thrawn, yeah. I think. Yeah. So Thrawn, dun dun dun, is on site conducting an investigation of the faulty construction, which he even mentions. He's just so logical that, well, the reason I'm here is because you guys and your weapons has a higher rate of malfunctioning and not basically performing adequately.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's got to be something going on here.
Also, you know, he has Sumar test the speeder and it explodes, obviously, because it overheats. Question for you. Mm-hmm. I remember watching this part and being extremely nervous because it's also heartbreaking because you can see that Ezra wants to do something because this is his family friend.
Yeah.
And he can't. Because mm-hmm. him and Kanan are undercover and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But my question to you is, were you shocked by Sumar's death in this episode? Or did you kind of see it coming?
I don't know. Like, I don't know if it was the organ or what it was, but, like, something was definitely off and ominous. And again, it just goes back to the genius that Thrawn is. I was not expecting him to keep pushing the speed of this bike before it explode. I was not expecting that to happen. But then after it happened, I was shocked, first yeah. off. But second, it made sense. And he says, everything that you make now, you're going to test. Which means if you make it incorrectly, it's going to cost you your life.
Yeah, it gives it an incentive to, well, I better make this right. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, because now my life is on the line of whatever I make.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate. But smart.
Were you shocked that Seymour
I was very, very surprised. First of all, like I said, I was nervous this entire episode. I haven't watched it probably since it aired in mm-hmm. a while. When I think about it now, it's Thrawn. So I kind of... I don't know, it's different now, but at the time, yes, I was, like, shocked Pikachu face, yeah. very, like, oh, crap, like...
Plus, also, I think people online, if I remember right, people online were so happy that he actually did something this time, because he was so just kind of, let him go, we learned, let him go, you know.
That's true.
And so they were like, oh my gosh, Thrawn finally did something. It's like, yeah, but he killed somebody, you know,
yeah, poor Sumar. I liked him.
Yeah.
And not only that, but Kanan tries to call Ned Hera because, oh, we're in trouble. And then Ezra immediately goes, they've already jammed the comms. Because he's dealt with Thrawn, kind yeah. of, with Hera yeah. and Hera's heroes. I think this is Kanan's first introduction to him.
Mm-hmm. But also, I think what I wrote in my notes was, thank God for those helmets.
Yeah.
Because he immediately jams comms, like Thrawn, jams comms, locks the entire factory down, and wants to, like, do all this investigation. And I believe the chopper creates some sort of diversion so they can run off.
Yeah.
My first instinct was, he's probably going to ask them to remove their helmets. I felt like that was the next step.
Well, yeah, he said line up to ID, so they were going to remove their helmets, but also give them the whatever... card or whatever they're carrying around. But yeah, I was very nervous there. I'm like, oh my gosh, like,
because at least the helmet you can't really see in it.
Yeah.
Especially
that part where Thrawn's walking down the row of them and he comes to Kanan and Ezra and you're just like, ugh! And he kind of looks at him and then he keeps walking. I'm like, my heart.
Yeah, it's definitely like a adrenaline episode. Mm-hmm. It's like, will they, won't they get caught? So Chopper does get his version and they make their escape and they do don stormtrooper armor as disguises.
Convenient. They just
oldie
run into
but
some...
goodie, right?
Right, right.
Conveniently running just to two of them. Perfect. There's two of us, two
just
of
what we need.
So meanwhile, Thrawn is studying the art that he's gathered, focusing mainly on Sabine's graffiti. He believes that these rebels have a special connection to Lothal, I know he's a genius, but there I was like, duh. These are the same rebels that you accused of killing Minister Tua. True. Doesn't take a detective to figure that out.
True, but I do like how it's showing more of Thrawn's analytical side, too.
Yeah.
Of not just strategy and battle plan. It's also about... I just almost quoted him directly. Not just about their strategy, but their philosophies, art, how they feel about things. Like, the whole picture.
Well, knowing your enemy.
Yeah.
Like, completely knowing them is, like, the lesson. And the
way
this,
that's animated is so cool. The way he's lit by all these pieces of art and all that stuff is really... It's animated really cool.
And there is some special... I won't say special, but there is a unique... Because, again, we know, ding, ding, that Kallus is Fulcrum.
Yeah. It's revealed in this episode.
It's revealed in this episode. But it is interesting, again, to once again see the way Price thinks about things.
Yeah.
The way Thrawn thinks about things and the way Kallus thinks about things.
Because even scene. When I think the test with Sumar, you know, Price, doesn't she smile?
Yeah, she actually smiles about it.
And then Kallus is like, this is... You could tell he doesn't agree with it.
Yeah, well, he brought that up before about killing civilians, and that's a no-go.
Right.
But it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, once you're in it, I say it, like, military or whatever, regime, you're in it. And then it becomes something that you didn't think it would become.
Become, yeah.
Like, yeah.
So, Kanan and Ezra are pursued by troopers, and they find themselves in an elevator with Agent Kallus. And I love how it sets you up thinking he's gonna... He's like, don't move, rebels.
Well, even before that, like... They escape into an elevator, and then the guys are like, stop them. And then Kallus is like, you two, come with me. Like, yeah. Does he not know? Okay, he doesn't know, so maybe he's just, you know, are they going to punch him out when they get into the elevator? But yeah, it kind of like, for the commercial break goes, da-da, and he's caught them. Yeah.
Psych. Not really. And then he reveals to them that he's Fulcrum, and he'll get them what they need and help them escape. And I love how Chopper is like, he said, you should trust me. And he, like, tells them, like, I helped Zeb out. I helped Sabine. Now I'm helping you. Like, here's the receipts. Like, I'm not lying. And I think it's funny how Chopper is the one that trusts him, and they're still kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that I believe to get into the room where the schematics are kept, which is in Section A2. They keep referring to the section. And it's under triple guard. You have to have a special code. So they get in with Chopper, and Chopper's able to access that information. Yeah. Which Kallus is like, oh, wow, he's a pretty awesome droid. And of course, Chopper's like, oh, I love compliments. So I feel like that's part of the reason. It's like, oh, yeah, we could be buddies, totally be buddies. Give me more praise, please.
Also, we have to talk about the highlight of this episode for me, humor-wise, is when he's like, Kallus is like, I need to figure out how to make this look convincing, you know. And then Ezra just shoots him through that glass.
Yeah, just force pushes him straight through it.
But the comedic timing of it is like Kanan yells Ezra at him, and then he's like, what? Pause. That is convincing. And then we have kind of old Kanan coming out with, I was going to do that.
So the rebels make way for the East Gate. Oh, by the way. While that's happening, we also have Ryder and his group strategizing how to get them out of this factory, because now they're stuck there, essentially. And so they're going to make a diversion to attack the East Gate, where I believe Kanan and Ezra get a hold of a walker that they're using to shoot other walkers. And we had that little line that Ezra says about, I hope this is one of the good ones.
Oh, yeah.
It's already been established that a lot of these machines have been tampered with and sabotaged.
Yeah. I thought the part was cool where, you know, Thrawn reveals that, shoot, that obviously it's oddball out here.
Yeah.
And they, like, sit on it, almost. The bigger walker system crushes the smaller walker. Mm-hmm. And I love how they use their lightsabers, because I was thinking, I don't know why, I'm dumb, I guess. I was trying to figure out how they were going to get out of there.
I was thinking maybe through the side, but yeah, after, I guess I'm done too. I was just thinking, oh yeah, that does make sense to go up top.
Up through it,
through both of them at the same time. So we have Ryder rendezvousing with Kanan and Ezra. They now have this stolen data, which they send back to Hera. They discover that it's plans, new plans for a new TIE model. One, both, not only does it have shields, but it has hyperdrive. Mm. And that's something you don't normally see. Normally, TIE fighters, they're contained in these very big Imperial shuttles to, like, drop them down. They can. This is like a TIE fighter that can basically follow you if you jump somewhere.
I must have missed that, because originally, I don't know how you felt about the TIE fighters with the shields, but originally when I first saw this episode, I was like, I don't see why that's such a big deal.
I think it's a really big deal. Like, it changes, it evens the odds, right? Okay. Because normally TIE fighters are...
I won't say suck,
but, like, they're definitely a weak point. Like,
yeah.
They're very small. They don't really have a whole lot of shielding on them.
Yeah,
true. They can't go, they don't have any hyperdrive whatsoever. So, I think it's established in, I think, A New Hope when, gosh, I'm dating myself now. Let's see. The part where Luke and Obi-Wan and Han and Chewie are going to Alderaan, like, hey, it's not here, and then we see this TIE fighter fly out, and it's like, and then Han says, well, it can't be a straggler, because it has to be going on some ship to get
right,
here.
Right, right.
If you have a TIE Defender, it can literally go anywhere.
Wherever, that's true. So Thrawn, they get out, obviously. Thrawn summons Kallus and Governor Price. He informs them that he believes there is a spy in their midst, because obviously these guys had to escape somehow.
The way that Section 2 was just kind of completely... There's only a handful of people that could get in there.
So I started putting the pieces together there. And he says, when we find our spy, we will find them... Or when we find our spy and we will find them, we shall turn them from an obstacle into an asset. And then he looks at Kallus, like, wouldn't you agree? So, did you think he knew it was Kallus at this point?
Oh, he definitely knew. It's just, okay, now that I have this information, how can I use you?
True.
So, my mind immediately went to, okay, when the bad thing about knowing that someone is a spy is, like, I can just give you false information. You can tell them whatever I want them to know or to not know.
No.
And then you have your trap set up. So, that's where my mind went. Like, he totally knows that Kallus is... Fulcrum.
Yeah, and I love how this episode ends with a shot of Kallus's face. It's like, perceptive as ever, Admiral, and he's just kind of like, and I really felt for him. I think this is when I really started to feel for him. It's like, oh my gosh, you're an Imperial spy. That's so dangerous on every level.
Yeah, and I think for Kallus, it doesn't really hit. I don't think it. The danger of it didn't really hit him until all this moment. It's like, oh, What, I'm doing this again? Yeah, that's pretty dangerous.
But now you've got the person that is Thrawn on your tail is pretty terrifying.
Yeah, for sure.
What'd you rate this episode?
I gave it an 8.
Me too.
I think it's one of the stronger episodes of the season. I really like the pacing. I like the animation and the writing. I like Kallus being Fulcrum.
I need to get you a shirt with Kallus on it. That needs to happen.
Regular Kallus or hot Kallus? I don't know.
or hot Kallus with the words hot Kallus written on it.
That would be cool. It'd be dope. Yeah, so I'm a little bit biased, but I like that. Just seeing Thrawn be as ruthless as he is, we haven't really seen that.
True.
I mean, we saw him grab, what's his name? Over art, over the Calicori. this was actually like just killing somebody and having no. Like, this is, at the end of the day, this is what's going to get me results, even if it's morally wrong.
He just doesn't care.
Don't care. What do you think about the episode?
I really enjoyed it. Like I said at the beginning, I liked how it took place on Lothal. I was super excited to get back to Lothal because, you know, I love how he says the rebels have a special connection to this place. I think the fans do too. I mean, you feel
that.
Yeah,
that's true.
You feel that. Especially in season 4 when we get to go back there and stay there for a little bit. But I have a special connection to Lothal too. Mm-hmm. And so do the Rebels. So getting to go back there. Seeing Ryder being a bad A. I was about to curse. I love Ryder. I love, like I said, Thrawn. Seeing him putting all the pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
Of not just Kallus, but the Rebels as a whole. It was a really cool episode, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so too. And Poor Seymour. I feel bad for him. Because he did risk it all. He risked his life. And
his wife. Is that his wife?
That's his wife.
At the end.
The one that's using the bazooka. That's
yes.
her.
Yeah. Great. You just gave her more fuel to that fire.
Yeah. You murdered my husband now. Now it's really, I'm really going to be after you now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get that unfortunate, sad scene of Ezra being the one to have to tell her, which it's hard for him because he has a connection with him. His parents had a connection.
Yeah.
With that family, so. But overall, very strong episode.
I agree.